everything. Down here comes the sun. All right, we are live on air with executive director of the Sopra Sun, Todd Chamberlain. Are you there, Todd?
Oh,
awesome. Huzzah, yes, we could hear you.
All right.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Todd. I know that you're calling in from afar.
I'm in Chicago, of all places.
Very cool, very cool. How's the weather in Chicago today?
You know, the sun just came out, which is amazing.
Ah, well, it's like
rainy all day.
The perfect time for the sun come out for the Everything Under the Sun hour.
Right, we have some great stuff for the show, so
yes.
I can't wait.
Yeah, we have some great stuff. We're expecting Mark Burrows here in the studio to talk about, I know we just saw him walk in, actually, to talk about his Mother's Day expedition of getting all these excellent photos of mothers in the valley. But first, Todd, we had a couple things that we were going to talk about. Do you want to take the reins on that?
Yeah, you know, one thing you might be noticing in the paper recently is we're starting to dive into different topics in depth and from different angles, which is really exciting. And this month happens to be Mental Health Awareness Month. And throughout the month, you'll be seeing articles and hearing from our freelancers about how mental health has affected them in their lives. And I think it's going to be a really cool subject to explore. I mean, mental health, you know, we kind of shy away from talking about. And this gives us an opportunity to do so. And mental health, you know, it's important, especially in the valley and during these times.
Absolutely. It's been certainly a subject on a lot of people's minds. And the pandemic was a test for a lot of us in terms of mental health and depression and what comes along with those things. And Todd, you just mentioned that some of the writers will be contributing regarding mental health, the reports or articles, as well as maybe a couple op-eds. I've volunteered myself to give a little insight of mental health's ups and downs that I've gone through in the past. So I'm happy to do that. I think we have a couple other contributors too who might chime in.
Yeah, I'm excited to have them have the platform to tell their stories, and I might tell some of my stories too. I think through life journey, we all have challenges. We all go through different stuff and have strategies that unfold. And I think it's really important to be able to talk about those and as part of the healing process to share with friends, family, and whoever else we feel comfortable talking with, because we all go through it. It's part of the human journey. And for myself, I know it's given me much more empathy and compassion towards my fellow human beings and the world we live in.
Absolutely. And I think you hit the nail on the head there too, with everyone has mental health struggles in one level or another. And it might be just day-to-day worries, but we all have different levels of mental health that we need to take care of. And sometimes that's good diet, and sometimes it's a magic pill. And sometimes,
right.
You know, it's different for everyone, but...
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited that we're going to be highlighting Mental Health Awareness Month. And that kind of goes in. We've been getting a little bit more in-depth into our stories and under the direction of you and the new editor, Raleigh Burley.
Yeah. And I think we're planning on doing more of that. And, you know, we're also kind of diving into that with the Spanish area as well. So it's a good time to be reading the Sopra Sun if you haven't picked one up recently.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're kind of in our fundraising season too. So the more funds we could raise, the more we could explore. And that's exciting for I think all of us that are involved in the newspaper.
Yes, so cool. And also, in terms of expanding, I got an email or a text recently from Raleigh, and I help out a little bit with the deliveries. And sounds like we're even going to have someone picking up papers to take down to Newcastle. Volunteering to do so.
Yeah, and we're hoping to get all the way down to Parachute. I know there's a lot of desire for getting, especially the Spanish insert down there. So we'll hopefully be kind of countywide in Garfield, like we are in Pitkin and part of Eagle. So stuff as we expand.
That is so fantastic. Really great work to both you, Todd, and Raleigh for reaching those readers.
Yeah, and you know, the great thing about this, too, is we're able to do things like the Mother's Day edition, where we have so many cute babies to explore. So
yeah. Well, that's a... Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking, you know, I think Mark has one of the funnest jobs taking pictures of those moms and babies.
Yes, he does. And that is a great segue, because Mr. Burroughs is gracing us here in the flesh in the KD&K studios. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm grand. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Thank you so much for coming in today.
My pleasure.
It's good to see you. I haven't seen you in person for a while.
No, it's been a long time. It's been even longer since I've been on the radio. It's been like, oh, wow. Forgot about this place.
Well, he's a natural. He came right in here and sat down, knew what to do. He knew where the guest seat was, and I'm still learning the ropes myself. So
you're good.
Well, Todd had just mentioned the Mother's Day photos, which look excellent this year. We have a selection on the first page, and then it looks like on page 6 and 7. Mark, how long have you been doing the Mother's Day shoot?
I'd have to look back, but I'm thinking close to 10 years. It's around 10 years-ish. I haven't actually kept track. And Todd's right. It's absolutely so much fun to get to play with babies all day long. It's like the grandparents. They show up, frustrate the hell out of the parents, play with the baby, get them all riled up, and I get to walk home and sleep well at night.
That's fantastic. Do you not really have to deal with crying babies too often?
Oh, no, that happens. this year, I didn't, as very rare this year for whatever reason. I got a lot of smiley babies and some stoic babies, but I think I had one that was crying, but I was able to get a shot off
I was going to say, you have a successful shot for each one, and it does every mother and their child justice.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, there's a sleeping baby, the yawning baby. Like, they're all super cute. And I had a great selection of moms this year. All the moms are fantastic and fun to work with. And it's great. It's one of my favorite events of the year is to do this.
That's wonderful. So generally, do you always do it outside? Did you do it at Soper's Park this year?
Yes, it was in Soper's Park at the gazebo this year and last year for the first time ever.
Okay.
Historically, it's been in my studio. I don't have that anymore because COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to do something. And last year, Will Grumbaugh and I came up with the idea to do it in the gazebo. And it's windy. You might see that in some of the photos, some like very theatrical looking hair blowing. Looks very fancy. That was all provided by Mother Nature. Yeah, there you go right there.
Yeah, it looks like Casey.
Yeah, Casey's got the...
Casey Bowen.
Yeah, she looks famous with her hair blowing sideways. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's a great photo, Casey.
It was doing some knocking my lights over and my backdrop over. And
oh,
it was
goodness.
It was fun.
A little bit more eventful than just shooting in the studio.
It's very much more eventful out there, yeah. And people walking up and kids come up wanting to play on stage, but it all ended well, very well, and it's great. I said, it's one of my favorite events, and I'm also standing on the shoulder of giants too. There's been many other photographers before me. This has been going on for, you know, it started in the Valley Journal,
Right.
What, in the, I don't even know, the 80s, 90s?
Yeah, I think my brother and I are with my mom, and that was 1990 in the Valley Journal.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, there's a few photographers. Carol Craven was, she's the one that gave me the lights that I use many, many years ago at this point. And so I'm so grateful for that. And all the other photographers that have been there too, back, especially back in the early days, like, what a great idea. I'm sure somebody said, Mother's Day edition, what? You're crazy.
Yeah.
Get pictures of all the moms? That's dumb. But it's such a tradition now, and everybody looks forward to it so much. It's
like, yeah.
I think it's one of the few, well, I shouldn't say because I don't really know, but it feels like it's one of the papers that everybody grabs five copies of.
Right,
because they
got
to send it back east to mom and grandma and like all the other old places, and you got to have a couple for yourself to stick in your drawer, or just pull out in 10 years or 20 years. And
right.
Yeah. And I collect them all too, of course.
Absolutely. Well, they're, it's always such a pretty cover, and I have to say Elise Golden, our graphic designer, also did a great job putting them all together and making it look really springy in May and Mother's Day. So
very floral, very, very colorful this year. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Do you think you've gotten more mothers and or pairs, I should say, over the years? Has it become more popular? Has it always been around the same number?
I feel like it's been around the same number. Really, it's kind of in proportion to how much I do in advance to bring people in for it. Like, this is the first year I didn't hang posters. But I still got, I think, 49 moms are in the paper right now.
Yeah,
49.
Oh, great. Thank you, Todd.
And I didn't do posters, but word still got out there. And actually, I got more Hispanic Latino moms to come out this year than ever before, I think. I'd have to actually go back and do a serious count to see if that's
correct. Really great.
But I think there's 10 or ish.
Nice.
Latino moms. So I'm really, really happy about that.
Yeah. I was.
It's advertising in Spanish, so I think that really helped bring out that demographic.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Great that we did. So.
It's a hard demographic to reach for, you know, like an older white guy like me. I don't speak the language, so I rely on you guys to help with the translation and produce the posters that do the translation. I got to go hang them in the Tortilleria and the salons and all the places in Glenwood and Basalt and Carbondale that focus on the Spanish Latino audience. And I feel like this has been the strongest year yet. Maybe it's finally getting words, finally getting around, and like they feel like they can feel safe being photographed. I don't know, but yeah, I'm really, really happy.
You know, what I love about this issue is it really pays tribute not only to the moms that are in it, but all moms and how special and important they are in our lives. And I think at some point someday it would be nice to maybe revisit some of the babies that were in some of the issues and where are they now?
Kind
of
gosh. That is such a great
idea.
Where
the moms are. Yeah.
That'd be fun. I've done a few photos. They haven't appeared in the paper, but sometimes because I send out emails to all my past moms as well, inviting them to come back year after year. They don't make it in the paper again, but it's like they can start a collection of like Mother's Day, the formal official Mother's Day portrait. And the goal is like in 10 years, then maybe you can have like a book of like 10 years of Mother's Day photos or 15 years. And I've had moms come in with their older children like, we did this 25 years ago, and they want a portrait of them years and years later. And that's awesome. I love that.
That sounds really fun. And I just, go ahead.
I think we're going to have to explore that idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that sounds really fun.
Do a retrospective in the maybe in the fall.
Absolutely.
I don't know. It's up to you guys.
Well, it's up to Todd and it's up to Raleigh. I would just like to, again, you did bring up the just how diverse the Mother's Day photos are this year and how it represents more of what our valley looks like.
Yeah.
So way to go, Todd. Way to go, Mark and Raleigh Burley, again, for reaching that important part of our demographic. Mark, anything else you'd like to add about the Mother's Day issue? We have a couple other questions to ask about your interests.
My other endeavors?
Yeah, their endeavors.
No, I've, I it's one of my, like I said, it's like one of my favorite events to photograph every year. Even if I get out of photography, this would be the one thing I would still always come back for, because I absolutely love it.
Does it get better every year, or is it always so?
No, it's always just a lot of fun. I get to play with babies all day long.
Oh my God.
And it's I go home and I'm exhausted. I sleep well because it's a lot of running around back and forth trying to get them to laugh and giggle and smile, or even like crack any kind of a face other than like a bored, like, "Why are you doing to me? Go away." It's a challenge, but it's really, really fun.
After this year, it feeds the soul too, I'm sure, to see people and get to interact. So,
yeah, being able to see people. It's been really nice. I know I'm vaccinated now, and more people are getting vaccinated, and it just makes, I don't know, going out seem a little bit safer. And
yeah, and I think moms really appreciate it too, because mm-hmm. There's a lag between they come up, but like the stage is for whoever's being photographed right then. But there's moms always standing off on the park waiting, and they all 90% of the time they know each other.
Yeah,
through Lamaze classes or birthing classes or whatever, or their neighbors or.
Right.
It's just nice, and even if they don't know each other, it's like,
they've all been going through the same thing for the last year.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all like, "Oh, baby, love it." And they go up and they get to talk to all the other new moms, and it's a great social thing for the moms as well, obviously.
That's fantastic. Well, we have only a few more minutes left, so I do want to ask you about a couple other things that you do that are really interesting. You're a beekeeper, is that right?
I am.
Oh, interesting. Do you have your bees in Carbondale?
I do.
Wow. Can you tell us a little bit about that operation, what it looks like?
It's very small. I have two hives. They're at my house. And I have two more hives. I keep them out of sustainable settings just because I don't want to have too many hives in town. I don't want to overwhelm the local pollination of the local pollinators, because those are out there. There are some local pollinators that do as good or better job than honeybees do.
Are those the only two boxes up at sustainable settings?
No, there's a couple more up there. There's one more at this point, and there'll probably be a couple more. I actually got a call to rescue some bees out of a building in Newcastle tomorrow. I'm going to go down and look at that. So I might be adding some more bees to sustainable settings. They have the room for me to put them out there, and the forage is much broader out there. Whereas in town, you don't know. I mean, my neighbors have bees, and there's people down the street that have bees, and I don't want to overwhelm the neighborhood, as it were. And
steal all the bees.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the pollen.
Yeah. Yeah.
You also make in terms of bees, you have to have a specific type of bee, or are there multiple types of honeybees?
There's different genetic variants to it. There's Italian is the most common type of bee. That's the classic yellow with black stripe. They're more golden in color. And then you get into the Russians, the Carnolians. And they're darker in color. And they all have different traits. Russians tend to overwinter better. And they produce a lot of honey, but they're more aggressive. And the Italians tend to be very gentle and will withstand anybody going near them. And they don't even think about stinging you.
No, they
But every hive is different. Every hive has its own personality. Every little bee has its own personality. If you spend any time with them, just hanging out with them, it's like, oh, yeah, there's definitely personalities going on here.
Do you get all suited up when you go out there?
Sometimes. It depends on the personality of the hive. If they're feeling aggressive, then, yeah, and if I need to get into it, but I try not to get into hives. If they don't want me there, I'm trying not to get in there, but there's some times when I just have to get in there to check for diseases and see the progress and make sure they're actually doing well. But it depends. Like if I go remove a hive from a building that the owner doesn't want the bees moved into like an overhang or a soffit or something like that without the owner's permission, and I have to remove them, then they definitely are very aggressive because they're like, "We're home. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Our home's fine. Go away." And I'm like, "Well." So I have to remove them, and it's not a gentle process at all. But
I'll show you to a home where you're welcome.
Yeah. And I have to transfer them into a home of my making, and they're not always agreeing with me on that.
And you also use your honey, correct me if I'm wrong, to make chocolate.
No, that is incorrect.
Thank you.
I don't produce enough honey to do that.
Okay.
I buy honey from the local honey people down in Rifle. I forget what they're called. I should know this. I'm so sorry. Anyway, it's the local Colorado honey, Western Slope Colorado honey, and I use it in my chocolate bars. And one in particular, I don't sweeten my chocolate with honey because I feel honey overpowers and adds an element of flavor I don't really want in my chocolate. So I just use organic cane sugar. But I do use honey in one of my bars. It's the honey foam.
Mm-hmm.
That I sprinkle it on the back in a heavy dose. It's really nice. It's like I crystallize the honey and then add it to the back.
Okay, yeah. I picked some up at the launch pad over Christmas time last year. Yeah. Is it available year-round anywhere? Or
it is. Here in Carbondale, Harmony Scott has a good selection. Mana Foods has a decent selection. Chocolate Mousse in Glenwood Springs has all of my bars. There's also Elizabeth Dean in Glenwood, Cooper Street Spirits in Glenwood, Bramble and Vine in Glenwood. There's also in Aspen, there's the Emporium and Flying Circus. They have all of my bars up there as well. And
great.
Skips in Basalt has a good selection of bars.
Great.
And it's all available online at pollinatorchocolate.com.
Perfect. You're all over the place and online.
Try to be.
All right, folks. Well, we do have to wrap it up. But Mark, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And Todd, thank you so much for calling in and bearing with me as I learn the system here.
Thanks for letting me be late.
Oh, of course. You arrived just in time. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Cheers.
Till next week.